Austin Price is about to join us with the VolQuest report today. First, though, PK with reaction to the tweet from Taylor Lewan, who tweets out, I wanted to let everyone know I got an MRI today. I tore my ACL yesterday against Houston. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm going to handle this rehab like a pro and come back better than ever. Thank you, Titans fans, for your support. Hashtag no bad days.
Well, I feel sorry for him, certainly. I feel sorry for the Titans because I think he's the third or at worst the fourth most valuable guy in terms of who you wouldn't want to lose. Tannehill, Henry, and then Lewan and or Simmons. I think Lewan's third there. So Ty Sambrello, I would expect to be there this week. Maybe you work your way towards Isaiah Wilson being ready at right tackle. I think he's still a ways away. And then you can maybe move Dennis Kelly from right to left. But I think some people, at least on Twitter, are romanticizing what Dennis Kelly did at left tackle last year. Part of it was Mariota, certainly. But, you know, Adam Humphries was in there chipping a ton to help Dennis Kelly. Anybody at left tackle is going to need help. We saw what happened when Sambrello didn't have help and J.J. Watt got around him and pounded Ryan Tannehill strip sack that was a turning point in an up-and-down game for the Titans. Also, Adam Schefter tweets that Jonnu Smith has a quote-unquote minor ankle sprain.
That's great news.
Very good.
It's not because minor indicates it's not a high ankle sprain that's going to keep him out multiple weeks. And
gives you cause for hope.
It's something that, you know, we'll monitor this week because while practice time could be limited, he could be a game time decision with a quote unquote minor ankle sprain. Again,
he'll get heavy treatment this week and they'll be hopeful.
Coming up, more of your phone calls. Eddie George will join us as well. But we say hello to Austin Price of VolQuest.com. Time for the VolQuest report presented by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage experts. Visit mtgrt.com today. Austin, hope you're doing well.
Well, it's a thrill a minute, guys. How are you?
Well, Austin, so you broke the story on Jimmy Brumbaugh being fired by Jeremy Pruitt. What happened to necessitate a guy being fired 4 games into his tenure at a school?
Well, Coach Pruitt cited philosophical differences being the reason that he made the move on Jimmy Brumbaugh. I just don't think he meshed. I think that, you know, Coach Pruitt hired him, you know, not at the direction of Derek Ansley, but I think D.A. kind of spoke highly of Brumbaugh. You know, anybody can kind of perform well in an interview. But Coach Pruitt got to kind of see him recruit. Coach Pruitt got to see him, you know, interact with his players and coach his players. I think that there was a real difference in how you handle things. And I think that it kind of just deteriorated from game one to game four. And, of course, you know, as my Twitter feed shows, Tennessee fans don't understand why this is not the offensive line coach or the quarterback coach or the offensive coordinator, and it's the defensive line coach. But, you know, Jeremy Pruitt felt like there needed to be a move made, so he will now coach the defensive line for the rest of the season.
So Jeremy Pruitt's going to be head coach and defensive line coach. What kind of staff flexibility does Tennessee have? And I ask that for an example. Chip Long is an offensive analyst. He was the offensive coordinator at Notre Dame the last 3 years. Notre Dame was 33-6 during that time. Is there a chance that a Chip Long is moved to a full-time role with the team and you add an extra coach on offense to help out because Pruitt's now covering the defensive line?
You know, I could see that being a possibility, you know, more so if, you know, you really needed help recruiting, but you don't really need help recruiting. You know, I don't think that'll be the case, you know, because the only way they do that is if they do it and say, okay, hey, Chip, whatever you're making that. Like, you're not going to get, you know, you're not getting kind of bump in pay. I mean, Tennessee's paying, you know, $1.2 million for Jimmy Brumbaugh to work 8 months during a pandemic when they had the staff had months off at home. I mean, like, it's a bit of a head scratcher, really, when you think about, like, you know, his tenure here. But, you know, it is a move they decided to make. But as of right now, I don't see Chip Long being on the main staff at this point.
Austin, for those who haven't read or heard Pruitt's press conference comments from today about the quarterback situation, recap for us, if you will, what he said, and does it indicate that we're going to see a rotation at that position this coming week?
Well, it's pretty clear that Jarrett will be the guy that trots out there on Saturday. You know, he said he's going to earn it in practice this week, but he did not want to put number two on the shelf. I made this comparison. Did you guys ever watch Two and a Half Men with Charlie Sheen?
Sure. Yep.
Yes or no? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I equate him to Alan Harper, Charlie's brother, who moves in and never moves out. Even once Charlie Sheen gets moved off the show and they move Ashton Kutcher in, Alan Harper remains in the house. JG is that with the quarterback position. He's moved in. They can't get him moved out. You know, the staff clearly feels like that he's their best chance to win football games. I talked to, you know, several guys over there last night, and they all, to a man, said, you know, if we're going to have a chance to right the ship and win football games, he's got to be the quarterback. The other guys just can't do it. And that, to me, that's an indictment on one, quarterback evaluation, quarterback development, and an indictment on all those players. You know, if Jarrett, who routinely has made mistakes, and some of which have not been his fault, but a lot of them have, for him to continue to get opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after all those mistakes, it's mind-boggling and something the fans are just not going to, you know, they're not going to be okay with. I mean, like when he rolls out there if number two trots out there Saturday against Alabama, the boos inside Neyland Stadium will be reverberated all the way to, maybe Nashville.
Here's what I don't understand, Austin, with all this. You said maybe it's just bad evaluations. Well, how can a staff that has been so bad at evaluating quarterbacks, they couldn't over-recruit Jarrett Garantano in 3 years, how is that staff making the determination that Harrison Bailey can't be good after 10 snaps? That's what we heard from Jeremy Pruitt. He had 10 snaps in fall camp getting ready for this season and then a scrimmage, but yet now I'm to believe that Harrison Bailey as a freshman, they've written him off, and he can't be better than Jarrett Garantano in year one, even if he started taking all the snaps?
Impossible.
In practice? How can you help me cut through the double talk there with that?
Oh, Chad, I don't know how to help you cut through it because, you know, the more people I talk to over there, they speak in unison. It's almost like, you know, when, you know, Butch Jones said when he was here, he had those talking points every day, every week. And, you know, when you would come in there and you would talk to kids, like the kids would already be coached up by the SID department about, you know, the key phrases that Butch wanted, you know, reverberated. It's not the same as that because it's not like the same phrases, but the same message is pretty clear. They just, you know, I think part of it, too, they don't feel he's ready. And I think this week specifically, they feel like that may be unfair to the kid. Like that going against Alabama could potentially set him back or hurt him going forward. I don't disagree with that, but, I mean, you know, how do you not at least give Brian Maurer a shot, JT Stroud, even if you feel like those guys make a ton of mistakes in practice, okay? How do you not? What's the difference between making mistakes in practice, making mistakes in the games? JG makes none in practice, but he makes them in the game. So, it just feels like, you know, something that you sit back and you do the same thing over and over again, and it's something the fans are just not going to understand. And I know you can't make every decision based off the fans. But at the same time, you know, they help you in a lot of regards. So you need them to stick behind you. And so, this whole quarterback quandary that Tennessee has, it's a head-scratcher and has been a head-scratcher for some time.
Austin, it's clear that Pruitt and Chaney are not on the same page based on post-game comments and with what we're seeing in these games. What do you think the points of emphasis are whenever they meet or if they met yesterday? I'm assuming they did. And overall for this team, what are the points of emphasis now sitting at 2-2?
I think more than anything, guys, is Jeremy wants Jim to just be a little more creative. I know why that Chaney was not as creative at Georgia, and that's solely because Tennessee wasn't sure what offensive lineman they were going to have, and they were afraid that the musical chairs of Cade at center or right, left tackle or wherever could hurt them in the game. And so they wanted to keep it somewhat simple. Well, simple equated to, you know, not very good. This past week, you know, they kept trying to push the ball down the field. Kentucky was dropping everybody and saying, okay, you can have the dink and dunk stuff. Well, Jim Chaney just simply wasn't patient. Jim Chaney, you know, they were running the ball on Kentucky really solid, you know, got impatient, you know, threw it, that first pick was, you know, I agree with Coach Brutal. That's a very little reward for a lot of risk type of throw. So Tennessee's got to be better in that instance. And Jim Chaney's got to be better in that instance. But I mean, you know, Tennessee's gotten mutilated on defense with crossing patterns. Where's that in Tennessee's offense? You know, we don't see that very often with Tennessee's offense where they're, you know, running a lot of slants and those type of things. So, I think more than anything, it's just kind of getting on the same page. I know Coach Pruitt and Coach Chaney met last night and, you know, from all indications, I think that they have the same common goal and they're on the same page going forward.
Where is Jimmy Holiday? You know, where are these young receivers that were supposed to add the speed element to this offense? You mentioned a lack of creativity. Is Tennessee ever going to snap it to someone that's not the full-time quarterback and try to run something off of that?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know why, you know, if the offense is so complex that you can't get Holiday, Callaway, Weidman on the field, then you need to dummy it down. They dummied it down for Rick Rogers and Justin Hunter. Why can you not dummy it down and get those kids on the field? Because right now Tennessee's got no playmakers on offense. I mean, Josh Palmer is a good player, but the teams are taking him away. You know, they know, okay, we're going in, we'll go take number five away, and then we're just going to say number seven, number four, number 80 are not going to be able to get open enough for them to make, you know, a lot of plays down the field. So, you know, I don't disagree that, you know, trying some different things, trying some different wrinkles, and getting some of these young kids. Look at the running back position. I mean, Eric Gray and Ty Chandler are doing a nice job, but Tennessee's got nobody like Kentucky had in the second half when they just kind of leaned on them with that 230-pound back. You know, Tennessee's got nobody like that. So, you know, they got to recruit. But then, you know, why not give D. Beckwith a shot? You know, I know he's probably not ready, but at the same time, he continues to make some plays in practice. And, you know, the offense needs some kind of, like, juice. You know, and right now it's very stale, and so we'll see if they kind of come with anything different on Saturday.
Austin Price with the VolQuest Report, presented by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage experts. Visit MTGRT.com today. Austin, thank you as always, and we will catch up with you on Friday for the VolQuest Power Hour. You and Brent will be back to preview Tennessee-Alabama.
Yes, we will, and before I get out the door, I do want to say congratulations to big Kentucky fan Billy Wilford, who listens to your all show routinely every day. And he's been texting me for a week about Tennessee, Kentucky. And he said Kentucky by 90 on Saturday. I said it felt like 190 after the game.
Billy.
There you go.
William.
Austin, we look forward to you next Monday having to give a shout out to Alabama fans.
I won't do that. But Billy's a different guy. He's a good dude.
All right. Hey, thank you, man.
See you guys.